It should be no surprise to you, dear listener, that Jordan and I grew up in the 1990s. And today we are going to focus on one of our favorite bands from this period. Probably better known for the post-band solo career of the namesake, we want to dig deeply into Ben Folds 5 and why we think this band sounds great.
I was never cool in school. I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years. I'm still wondering who to be.
And I'd love to mix in circles, cliques, and social coteries.
That's me.
Hand me my nose ring.
Only the coolest, most underground fucking kids know about Sounds Good to Us, which you're listening to now. I'm Gregory Hill.
And I'm Jordan Stone.
This is a music podcast where two friends of 21 years and counting pick one artist per episode and talk about why that artist is awesome to us, even if you don't agree. And you might not, but that's okay. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. Jordan, hello. Today, we're going to talk about one of our favorite bands. I'm sure a lot of you out there love them too. It's one of the best alternative rock bands of the 1990s. They broke up after only three records in their prime, amicably so, or maybe because of creative differences. Then they reunited in 2012, which we'll talk about today. This band brought piano back as a rock and roll instrument. Of course, Jordan, we're talking about Ben Folds 5. And to get us started, I want you to tell us about some personal connections you have with the band. Jordan, start us off. Where did you first hear about Ben Folds 5?
My first memories of Ben Folds 5 were hearing Brick on the radio in 1997.
She's a brick and I'm drowning slowly off the coast and I'm headed nowhere. She's a brick and I'm drowning slowly.
And as a 12-year-old, that's not exactly the song that grabs your attention, as you can tell. Well, fast forward to May of 1998, and the hit blockbuster Godzilla hits theaters. And Greg, do you remember the soundtrack for this movie?
Come with me, din-din-din-din-din-din-din-din.
I mean, this soundtrack, it might be the best of all time. It's one of the best, certainly. The Wallflowers, Puff Daddy with Jimmy Page. Are you kidding me? That's incredible. Jamiroquai. Rage Against the Machine, No Shelter, which is one of their best songs, and it's only on this soundtrack. I think it was actually even recorded for this soundtrack. This soundtrack also had the song Air by Ben Folds 5.
I'm coming up for air.
This song was also from their album, Whatever and Ever, Amen. So after hearing Brick and also Air, I decided to buy the CD. So it's 1999 now, and I'm in eighth grade, and I decided to start a CD burning business. And back in those days, you could make a copy or burn a CD. So I bought a CD burner and started a business. I'd go to school. I'd take orders at school, go home, burn their CDs that they requested that I made for them. Then I'd come back the next day and sell it to them for 10 bucks. It's a hell of a business. You can tell why I'm an entrepreneur. Well, fast forward to high school. Ben Folds goes solo, releases Rock in the Suburbs, his first solo album. And Greg, you and I have seen Ben Folds, or at least Ben Folds 5 in concert, maybe a dozen times combined, at least.
Maybe like 10 times together. Yeah, like, and maybe, I mean, 20 times combined.
Maybe, yeah. 20. I was trying not to overshoot here, but maybe 20 times combined. Ben Folds also happens to live in Nashville, where Greg and I live, and he's lived here for a really, really long time. I spent my freshman year of college at Belmont University in Nashville, which was down the street from his house at the time, and I had a few moments where I'd run into him on the street, and I wouldn't say anything to him. He didn't know me, but I would just keep walking. Like, oh, that was Ben Folds. So that was kind of cool to have him living in Nashville and running into him.
So I mentioned sort of a similar story on a previous Fountains of Wayne episode. I did not realize until preparing for these podcasts how much of a fountain of musical taste The Show, which had one season. The Jenny McCarthy Show in the 90s was for me. I mean, it was instrumental. You have bands like Cake, Ben Folds 5, The Cardigans, The Verve Pipe, The Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, and as previously mentioned, Fountains of Wayne. They all played on that single season, and the show got canceled. This was not a critically acclaimed or popular show, but I watched every episode, and so many of my favorite 90s bands were guests. They also included interviews, which is this very intimate setting where it's like the whole band and Jenny McCarthy and then random people are just laying on this big bed, which is obviously, you know, 90s me dream of laying on a bed with Jenny McCarthy. And it's just like seeing this band that you idolized be normal and kind of vulnerable was different because we didn't really have that much access to bands back then, right? You saw the music videos, you heard the music. But you didn't have this like personal relationship like you have now on Instagram and Twitter. So I didn't know what most of the bands that I liked look like outside of maybe images that were on TV briefly or on the album cover. So shout out to the Jenny McCarthy Show. I got a lot of traction out of it. And on this particular episode is when I first saw Ben Folds 5. They played One Angry Dwarf and 200 Solemn Faces. And I was dumbfounded after listening to this song. This band fucking rocked, number one. The band played with just this insane energy, and it was fronted by a piano player, which I'd never seen before. That was like my parents' music. The bands that my parents liked were fronted by piano players. We're talking Ray Charles, Elton John, which I like now, but as a kid, I didn't think were cool because my parents liked them. And this was just insane to my 11-year-old brain, and I immediately became a fan. So obviously, Jordan, I just searched on Spotify on my phone while I was sitting there, right? No, because it was 11 in 1997 and I have a fucking phone. There was no Spotify. I had to wait until I had enough money. I accrued via mowing lawns or something. Then I had to go to an actual physical store. Luckily enough, this was not a parental advisory CD, as we talked about in the past. I couldn't buy those when I was a kid. So I bought the Whatever and Ever Amen album first. And then very shortly after, I think my next CD purchase, however long in the future, was picking up their first and self-titled album. And I just consumed Ben Folds for just endlessly for the next couple of months. I listened to these CDs throughout middle school, mostly while drinking cream soda. And shout out to GoldenEye on N64. Great backdrop for N64. And so I loved Ben Folds from the jump. I found out about them on a crazy one-season run TV show in the 90s. And I still love them to this day. So Jordan, let's talk a little about Ben Folds 5. Obviously, a lot of people know them through Brick. A lot of people know Ben Folds as a solo artist, but we're going to dive into the band itself. They were founded as an alternative rock and sort of power pop band in 1993 in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. That's why when you actually hear them talk in some of these interviews, they have very thick Southern accents, which you don't necessarily expect when you listen to them. Despite the name, famously, the band only has three members. Ben Folds says in interviews the reason for this was simply because Ben Folds 5 sounds better than Ben Folds 3, which is a pretty practical reason, right? It does 100%. Ben Folds, the three people in the band, Ben Folds, obviously lead vocals, piano, songwriting, Robert Sledge, who you hear his name in some Ben Folds and Ben Folds 5 songs, played bass, synth, and backing vocals, and then Darren Jesse, drums, backing vocals, and songwriting. To date, they've released four studio albums. I mentioned earlier, there were just three in their prime. Ben Folds 5 self-titled in 1995, that was certified gold. Whatever and Ever Amen, they released in 1997, that was certified platinum, mostly on the shoulders of Brick. The unauthorized biography of Reinhold Messner in 1999 has not been certified based on sales at all. It didn't chart particularly well. And then they reunited in 2012 with The Sound of Life and Mind. They also released two live albums, Naked Baby Photos, which is a strange thing to say on a podcast. It'll probably get us taken down. They released that in 1998 and then live in 2013. I mentioned earlier, their highest charting hit was the breakout Brick from Whatever and Ever Amen, probably the weirdest, most famous pop song in the history of pop songs. Peaked number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100, although they did have three other songs chart in the top 30, most of which we'll talk about later today. They broke up amicably in 2000, despite the famous line in Army, broke up because of creative differences. It seems like they just broke up because they wanted to do other shit. Ben Folds went on to a successful solo career. Darren Jesse formed the band Hotel Lights, which a lot of people like. Not a band that I've listened to a lot of, but seems to have quite the following. Robert Sledge then went on to play with the band International Orange. He continues to play with bands now in the Raleigh, Durham area. They reunited twice, once in 2008 for a one-off concert as part of the MySpace Front to Back series. Jordan, I didn't know this, but this is like a strange thing to say out loud.
That's a blast from the past.
Yeah. MySpace funded a concert series where bands would play the entirety of a single album, which I really want to watch this. They played the entire album, the unauthorized biography of Reinhold Messner, from beginning to end. Then they reunited in 2011, later released The Sound of Life in Mind in 2012. So that's Ben Folds 5 in a nutshell. So next up, I want you to tell me, what is a song that you think just completely encapsulates the way that Ben Folds 5 sounds?
Kate, from 1997's Whatever and Ever, Amen. So let's talk about the essential Ben Folds 5 song checklist. 1. Quick Start has it. 2. Upbeat. 3. Distorted bass. 4. Fun lyrics. Quote, every day she wears the same thing. I think she smokes pot. She's everything I want. She's everything I'm not. One of my favorite Ben Folds 5 lyrics.
It's great.
This sounds like a Fountains of Wayne song. If you told me Adam Schlesinger wrote this song, I believe you. And then last on our checklist is Harmonies from Robert Sledge and Darren Jesse. This song checks every single box of the essential Ben Folds 5 song. It's the kind of song where if you don't like this song, you won't like Ben Folds 5. And I think it captures their energy perfectly. And this is Ben Folds 5 in a 3-minute and 13-second nutshell.
Yeah, I agree. So like most people who have names that are in songs, I had a friend in college whose name was Kate.
Yeah.
And every boyfriend she had up until when I met her, we didn't date, but you know, she was a friend of mine. Every boyfriend that she had up until that moment in time gave her Kate on a mixtape or a CD.
I believe it.
She hated the song. Yeah. She always hated it. She didn't hate it because they gave it to her. She just never liked Ben Folds 5. And so it was always kind of funny to me that that was just, I've never really given people music because their name is in it, but that's just something dudes do, I guess. So that's my Kate story. All right, my choice is Philosophy from their self-titled Ben Folds 5 album. Similar to Jordan, I think this song kind of checks the boxes of the Ben Folds checklist. There's frenetic piano and prominently featured bass. Remember, there's no guitar in this band. It's bass, drums, piano. So what's cool is you hear in Ben Folds 5 something you don't hear in other bands, and that is you hear the bass guitar, like with reverb as a main part of the track. And this song features bass. Bass solos, bass riffs. It has very self-conscious lyrics. Ben Folds was this intellectual college radio type band in this point of their careers. And so most of the music is going to be kind of stuff that doesn't sound that important, but it's really important because it's about them and, you know, what's more important to us than us. It has sweeping melodies, poppy harmonies. And Ben Folds, as a side note, has said jokingly that this song is about his penis. It's not, but if you listen to the lyrics, which I encourage you to go read the lyrics, and every time he says philosophy, insert that in your brain, penis, it's a very funny listen. And then there's like, this also shows the, not the penis part, but what I'm about to say shows the range that Ben Folds has as a pianist, not a pianist, but as a pianist, the solo at the end borrows from Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, which is like a very, I was not very good at piano. I'm sure that piano players learn Rhapsody of Blue like people for guitar learn Stairway to Heaven, but he plays it like in a really accelerated tempo, banging on the piano. And that's really cool because you see this range with Ben that you have classical, rock, jazz, pop, and they're all present across the band's work. All right, so Jordan, most people have probably heard of Ben Folds, Ben Folds 5, but in case they haven't, or this is a good opportunity for us to potentially introduce people to new bands they might haven't heard of, if you just happened upon this podcast because you saw Ben Folds, you love Ben Folds, maybe you're going to learn something new here. We're going to go through a couple of bands that we think are comparable in some way to Ben Folds 5. Jordan, you're going to kick us off with your first choice here.
All right. First up for me is Sarah Bareilles and her song King of Anything from 2010's Kaleidoscope Heart. Yeah. Sarah Bareilles is a relatively underappreciated artist. She's probably not pop enough for pop. I think it's one of those artists that still deserves to have hits, but doesn't for whatever reason it may be. We all know her hit Love Song, which is one of the best songs of 2007, but King of Anything, this song is in the same vein as Ben Folds 5. Check out that entire album, Kaleidoscope Heart. If you like what you just heard, it's a great album.
My first comp here is the band Built to Spill, specifically the song from 1994's There's Nothing Wrong with Love. The song is called Big Dipper.
Once.
When I was little, someone pointed out to me some constellations.
Built to Spill is still around. They've made a ton of music over the years. They started a little bit earlier than Ben Folds 5, but they're mostly contemporaries in this phase of their career. I think Built to Spill and Ben Folds 5 have very similar songwriting styles, introspective while also connecting to broader themes, and then sort of zooming in and out of how you make a song about yourself relatable to other people, which is a very hard thing to do. I think both bands do that very well. They sing a lot about being younger, and they have sort of this narrative-focused storytelling approach to their music, which kind of reminds me of country in some ways, interestingly enough. But they, despite the piano focus of Ben Folds 5, they sit really comfortably as a sort of this 90s alt-rock band. They also have this really great ear for melody, which sort of makes their songs poppy, catchy, and memorable. None so more, I think, than Big Dipper, which is my favorite Built to Spill song. If you like this song, definitely check them out.
My next artist comparison is Ben Queller and his song Falling from 2002's Sha Sha. All right, this one is kind of cheating. Ben Folds formed a supergroup in 2003 called The Bens with Ben Queller and Ben Lee, so I'm kind of cheating here, but just go with it. I've been rediscovering this album from early in Ben Queller's career. It was his debut album. He's only 21 years old when it was released. And this song specifically fits into more of the slower comp of Ben Folds 5 songs. Ben Folds has crazy, you know, fast songs that you just heard, and they also have slower songs you'll hear here in a minute. And this one fits in kind of more with the slower songs. But check out the entire Sha Sha album for a lot of songs similar to Ben Folds 5.
I love Ben Queller, and it's the thing that's so funny about doing a podcast is I don't think I would have thought about Ben Queller unless you brought him up, because it's just he doesn't enter into my orbit anymore. Yeah. But there was a time where I was obsessed with Ben Queller. And check out, like, On My Way is another one of those slow songs from Ben Queller.
I love that song.
It's so good. Yeah, listen to Ben Queller, everybody. My next is They Might Be Giants, specifically the song Birdhouse in Your Soul from 1990's Flood.
Looking at her in the alley by the light switch. Who watches over?
They Might Be Giants are a really underrated band. The reason why is I just think that people don't take them seriously because, A, the vocals on They Might Be Giants records sound really weird. It's just like a really distinct vocal track. In fact, in a previous episode, I don't remember which one, I called this out and one of the playlists that we made. It's hard to take them seriously because they're also kind of jokey, but if you listen to early They Might Be Giants, it's not ridiculous to compare them to like early REM, the Pixies, the Mountain Goats, all of which are bands that people respect. The reason I picked them up is because I don't think people respect Ben Folds 5. And this is similar to conversations we've had about like Fountains of Wayne and Green Day, bands that don't take themselves seriously, kind of like the dumbest smart people in the room or the smartest dumb people in the room, don't tend to have a lot of cool people cred. They end up just having like cult followings, and They Might Be Giants have a cult following. They're a fantastic band. This is one of my favorite songs by them. I don't know a single person who likes them, and their sound's very different from Ben Folds 5, but I think Ben Folds 5 fans should like them. So if you haven't crossed over yet, you should.
I'm guilty. I can't name one song other than the one you just named, of course, but I've never really listened to them.
I don't know if you'd like them, but give them a try. Like you have to kind of wade through a couple layers to get to what's really good about them.
Next up is Guster and the song Manifest Destiny from 2006's Ganging Up on the Sun.
Of
So there's two bands I wish I listened to more, Guster and My Morning Jacket. They are a band, Guster, where I love like 10 of their songs. I love 10 of them, and I barely know the rest of their catalog. I don't know why this is, but I've never really gone deep into their catalog. Their songs have an awesome sound. If you're looking for something that's really relaxing, listen to Guster. It's very, very pleasing music to the ear. And I would start with their album, Keep It Together, if you're you know, just learning about Guster or want to dive in. But if you like Ben Folds 5, check out Guster.
My last choice is Todd Rundgren, the song I Saw the Light from 1972's Something, Anything. When you gazed up at me and the answer was plain to see, 'cause I saw. So if I was going from my own brain and not actually doing any research, I would have gone with Beck, Bare Naked Ladies, or probably Fountains of Wayne. I would have chosen between the three. Some of that is because of the time element, and some of that is because of just their approach to songwriting and music in general. I wanted to use the podcast as a way for me to dig into something. I had never listened to a single Todd Rundgren song. The only time I'd heard the name Todd Rundgren, and this is, you know, me being vulnerable, I could lie here, but the only time I'd ever heard the name Todd Rundgren is when I'd read stuff about Ben Folds 5. And all of the initial reviews of Ben Folds 5 records mention Todd Rundgren, and I never really spent a lot of time with him. So I wanted to dig in. A lot of people point to him as being an influence, or at least reminding themselves when they listen to Ben Folds, which after listening to a lot of Todd Rundgren this week, I agree. I don't think I would have, like, in a blind taste test, picked it out. Maybe that's just my own sound palette, but I do think that there's something there. I think specifically the way that he writes music and sort of the melody and the vocals sound a lot like Ben Folds. I'm just going to read the quote from the 1996 review in the Orlando Sentinel about Ben Folds 5 first album, because I think that also speaks a lot to one of our themes today about the band itself. So this is all quote. The Ben Folds 5, however, is an honest-to-God piano power trio, or more accurately, a piano power pop trio, playing a driving but highly melodic brand of rock and roll. Its self-titled debut sometimes recalls vintage Todd Rundgren, Queen, Squeeze, or even very early Elton John. But for all of Ben Folds' skill with the keyboard and the group's unusually keen vocal harmonies, the BF5 maintains a certain garage rock directness. I think that last line, like, despite all the instrumentation, despite everything we've talked about, Ben Folds 5 is an incredibly direct band. And they do their sound to you directly in a way that most bands can't.
To that last point about them being a garage band, there's a song, I think it's Stephen's Last Night in Town, don't quote me on that, where a phone rings in the background and they kept it in. There's like, who cares?
Yep.
We'll just keep it in.
Yeah. But that's also, like, we've heard stories like that from these other bands that don't get the cred, that other bands would have taken that out and started over and, like, done the perfect thing. And I think Ben Folds 5 is an incredibly direct and authentic band, for sure. So let's now get into a deep dive of the Ben Folds 5 songs themselves. Every episode, we pick one of these bands. We also make a playlist that's hand-created from our experience with this band. Sometimes you'll get early intro songs. Sometimes you'll get deep cuts. We try to make a playlist that we would want to listen to if we wanted to listen to Ben Folds 5. So we got 10 songs on this. Check out the playlist that we're making that accompany these episodes. The easiest way to find it is by going to soundsgoodtous.com. There's a link there that you can check them all out. Jordan, kick us off with song number one.
Track one, Jackson Cannery from 1995's Ben Folds 5. This is easily a top three Ben Folds 5 song for me. This is the first song on their first album, and it's a great one. Like I discussed when we were talking about the song Kate earlier, is I love how prominent the bass is in most of their songs, and this song is no exception. Some audio engineers might even argue it's too prominent in this song. And Greg, I loved your call out about how there's no guitarist in Ben Folds 5. So the bass kind of plays two roles. It's the bass, obviously, but it's also playing the guitar role, which is cool. And this song is the perfect example of how the bass is also the guitar for this band. This song is their sound, and it's what makes them unique.
For sure. I love Jackson Canary. And whenever, when I pulled up, you know, you got to the show notes first. When I pulled up that you'd chosen Jackson Canary, a little part of me died. And it's like, I wanted to do that one. But I did get to choose probably my favorite Ben Folds 5 song, which is Julianne from 1995's Ben Folds 5. I love this song. It's irreverent. It's fun to sing. There's great harmonies. There's strange falsettos. It's a strange story. It has very specific language, which we've talked about in songwriting. Specific language is always better than non-specific language. And in the beginning of the song, he says, I met this girl who looked like Axl Rose. And immediately, you know what that is. He could have use different words to explain what that person was. But not only do we know what she looks like, we also know her attitude and sort of her philosophy of life because we know who Axl Rose is. And it's such like a very specific line that I love. It also perfectly features all three of the instruments. You hear the piano, the bass, and the drums all featured. And that's one of the things that this band can do because it's a trio, like a jazz band. They are able to sort of blend between those three instruments in a way that features them and not just has the rhythm section. But I don't know why this is. I searched, maybe you know, Jordan, but I couldn't find a reason. He says shit in the song, but it's like muffled or like almost bleeped out or edited, yeah. Which is weird to me. I didn't think that was very cool as a kid. But there's also a bunch of tracks or like background that's just trash cans and trash being thrown away, which I did think was cool as a kid. So it canceled out the fact they didn't say shit.
Next is Change Your Plans from 1999's The Unauthorized Biography of Reinhold Messner.
Sometimes I get the feeling that I won't be on this planet for very long. I really like it here. I'm quite attached to it. I hope I'm wrong.
So I'm going to say it again. The Unauthorized Biography of Reinhold Messner is without a doubt their most mature album, their most musically advanced album. And fun fact, Reinhold Messner is an Italian mountaineer and the first person to climb Mount Everest alone. So now you know.
Is that foretelling Ben Folds' solo career?
Interesting.
Is it that
this
deep?
Album kind of sounds like a Ben Folds solo album.
It does.
Yeah. So, yes, I think so, maybe. But back to this song, Don't Change Your Plans. Ben Folds 5 has this ability to effortlessly transition from serious to sarcastic. And this album features a song like this, which is very serious. Ben Folds 5 will surprise you sometimes with their very, very serious songs. And they'll flip the script completely on songs like Army, which you're about to talk about shortly here, Greg. But Don't Change Your Plans, really good song that deserves a spot on the playlist.
Yeah, I love what you just said, and I want to like double click on it, that we've talked about bands who are not taken seriously, and that has two impacts. Number one is either it means you can't, and even like friends, think of a friend you have who just jokes about everything. It either means that you can't take them seriously at all, or you take the serious stuff more serious. When Time of Your Life comes out, or Wake Me Up When September Ends from Green Day, and every part of the experience you have with that band is like fun, and then they make a serious song, it gives it more weight to me. And that's the same thing with Don't Change Your Plans. Don't Change Your Plans is more effective because it comes from a band who doesn't take itself serious. Next one is, I'm going to go with the song that we actually opened the episode with, Underground from 1995's Ben Folds 5. So for a long time, I read this song as like one of the greatest fuck you songs of all time, like in the same canon as Juicy by Notorious B.I.G., sort of a person who's made it and is now coming back and saying like, y'all doubted me, fuck the haters. That's not what this song is about at all, but I still love it. It's about geeks and outcasts when they're younger than like just still never fitting in, but then finding a clique. Or coterie, I guess you could say. When they find that, you fit in, but then they become exclusionary to everyone else. And so this song, I love this song, and I think it's like the perfect explanation of this phenomenon, is that people who are outcasts, then when they go to like college and there's more people there, they find other outcasts like them, and then they create a clique, and then they make other people outcasts, which is reasonable, right? If you're an outcast, you deserve that. But it's ironic. And so,
it's ironic.
You know, So Ben has said this song is like both an ode and a complaint to those type of people. He respects those people and he feels for those people because he was one of those people. But the way that he sort of zigged where they zagged, whereas like he wanted to make music that a lot of people could like and he wanted to share things with people instead of cutting them off. I love this song. I love the opening, which we talked about earlier. I love the falsettos. I love the falsetto harmonies. Bass is also featured very prominently throughout this song. And then there's just this weird little kind of jazz club, jazzy piano solo at the end that takes it out. So I think this song nails a concept maybe better than anyone else could put to words.
It's like they're musical. If they were to make a musical, it'd be the song Underground. Next is Battle of Who Could Care Less from Whatever and Ever, Amen.
Watch the Rockford Files, call to see if Pa can score some weed. Do you never rest? Fight the battle, who could care less?
I love the approach of this song. He's basically referring to slackers, which is a big 90s theme. It even had its own movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, what's it like to not care about anything? And I'm going to dive in here to a verse, quote, and you think Rockford Files is cool, but there are some things you would change if it were up to you. So think about your masterpiece. Watch the Rockford Files and call to see if Paul can score some weed. My favorite part of that is it says, he's talking about people like, I would change this TV show. And he's like, oh, cool, you would. Yeah, well, think about your masterpiece so that you would make this show so much better. Greg, you and I grew up in the 90s. We remember the entire decade, but we're still millennials, which is weird and not common for millennials to remember all of the 90s. I'm calling this out because this is a Gen X song to the core, and it's not something we can really identify with.
Nope.
Right?
Yeah, like, I mean, our generation, millennials are about caring too much.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We're the opposite. Like,
yeah, Gen X were like slacker. Not that they're all slackers, but like, we don't care, who gives a shit.
Here's the thing I think about this too is I love that you picked this up because number one, this is one of my favorite Ben Folds Five songs of all time. So again, you got to one that I would have chosen first. And this is the sequel to Underground, because with Underground, the outcasts care so much about something that they don't want other people to see it or experience it because they're not cool enough. Battle of Who Could Care Less is ironic also because it's like you're trying hard to come across like you don't give a shit. And really, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like, it's, you don't give a shit because you're cool. You give a shit because you don't have any other options. Like,
and you care too much about not caring, which means you care a lot.
Right. Yeah.
More irony.
So I'd love, just like the like Ascent of Stan, which we've talked about in a previous podcast, just sort of a sequel. I love thinking about this song as a sequel to Underground. My choice next, you alluded to it earlier, is Army from 1999's The Unauthorized Biography of Reinhold Messner.
Well, I thought about the Army. Dad said, son, you're fucking high. And I thought, yeah, there's a first for everything. So I took my old man's advice, three sets of Messner.
So like I said before, sometimes we choose songs that are deeper cuts that we love. Sometimes we choose really popular songs. This is probably Ben Folds Five second most popular song, just by streams at least on Spotify for sure. I mean, Brick has 32 million streams. This one has 6 million, which is a whole million more than the next one, One Angry Dwarf and 200 Solemn Faces. Army is one of those songs that a lot of people, I think when they're younger, they hear it and they pick it up, they put it on mixtapes or they put it on a playlist or whatever, and for some reason it's a song that has a lot of legs. It's a really fun song, especially fun when he plays it live. If you've never seen Ben Folds or Ben Folds Five live, go see them because they're so interactive, and this is one of the songs that's really interactive. This song is also true, at least mostly, and he talks about that this is based on his own experience. So this is a story that he tells live, always kind of varied a little bit, but it's mostly on point here. He flunked a test in college, which made him flunk out of the class, because how he did on that test would have guaranteed him a failing or passing that class. The reason why he flunked it is because at 6 a.m. that morning, he was dropped off by the police at school. He was still drunk after being in a bar fight the night before. He had stitches in his mouth and stitches on his face. He shows up, so now after being in jail, after being in a fight, still drunk and takes the test. Of course he flunked it. He's so pissed off that he then throws his drum set into the lake that's in the middle of University of Miami. And the drum set is what he was, you know, he was taking music classes. So he threw the drum set and basically said, fuck it, I'm out. I'm not going to be in a band anymore. I'm over it. He takes a Greyhound bus back home to North Carolina, and he works in a grocery store for 18 months. And he is just completely down. Like, he's just, I don't know what I'm going to do. I thought music was my thing. I don't think it's going to be it. What if I decide to join the army? And so he has this moment. And at the same time, his dad knocks on the door and he's like, Ben, what are you doing in there? And he goes, well, Dad, I was thinking about joining the army. And his dad says, you're fucking high, and walks off. Love that story. And so the song is actually true. And my second favorite thing about this song, which I did not know until doing the research, Wikipedia, which this is sourced, so I'm going to believe it, said that the clean version, and I never heard of this, Jordan, maybe you have, the clean version, when they say, hey, we're going to play the clean version of Army,
yeah,
they call it the we got the fuck out edit, meaning they took amazing. The fuck out of Army, but that's the name of the clean, which is great.
I love that. This song is on a very short list of songs where the first 5 seconds of this song does not draw you in and catch you. I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off with, well, I thought about the army. Dad said, son, you're fucking high. That's yep. in the first 5 seconds of the song.
Yep.
It's amazing. Next up, a song with some also similarly funny lyrics is Draw a Crowd from 2012's The Sound of the Life of the Mind. I could have sworn I saw it. In 2012, the band reformed to release their first studio album in 13 years. And thankfully, and somewhat surprisingly, it's pretty good. And this song is legitimately funny. I'll read off the chorus. Quote, if you're feeling small and you can't draw a crowd, draw dicks on the wall. Just the simplicity of it. I don't know. It's just the first time you hear it, like this is really funny. If you really listen to what he's saying, it's kind of an introspective look at maybe how Ben Folds sees his career. Really, if he's looking back on his career and where he's
Ben
at.
Ben Folds' corner.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe he thought he was going to be a bigger star. It's a fair question to ask, and I think he says it right there in the song. He says, I only wanted to be Stevie Wonder, but I got to settle for this Vanilla Thunder. If that's not a Ben Folds lyric, I don't know what is. If you listen to this song, listen to the whole thing, I think it's a little bit of an introspective look at how Ben Folds feels about his career, which isn't fair. I mean, people respect the hell out of Ben Folds.
For sure. I chose my favorite song off of their third record, Narcolepsy, which was on the unauthorized biography of Reinhold Messner. But I'm not tired. I'm not tired. I'm not tired. I'm not tired. As Jordan said, this album is their sort of most sonically, conceptually mature to date. This is the first song on that album. And as Jordan has said many times on this podcast, the first song should tell you everything about that album. And it makes a statement that this album and that this band is very different. Now, it's kind of back and forth of whether or not they knew they were breaking up when they released this album or they didn't. So who knows exactly what this meant for the band. But this is a different album by a different band, and it starts off with this song. And it opens up with a very pretty melody. Like, very few people can write a melody like the beginning of this song. It's a very, very sophisticated opening. And then it transitions into this like hard bass riff and then this sort of broader orchestral sound that some people have described as spacey, like a space rock opera. It takes you on this really wild ride, and then it comes back down for these really pretty harmonies. The song, you know, obviously being called Narcolepsy, it makes you think about the disorder in which you fall asleep. The song uses that as a way, as really a metaphor. It's not about the condition, but it refers to being present in a relationship. And so what he's trying to say to this partner of his is that you're going to find me sort of seeming really emotionally distant and seeming like I'm falling asleep in our relationship and checking out. He's not physically tired. He's depressed. And so he even talks about in the song, he's like, I'm not tired. I'm not tired, but I'm going to go to sleep anyway because he's so sad. And you don't really hear, I think a previous Ben Folds 5 album would have joked about this or found a way to make this funny. This song is in no way funny. It's very serious and it's very sad. I think it's very effective. It's an underrated 90s song, in my opinion. I think this is as good as anything that Coldplay has ever done. At me if you want to. I don't give a fuck. But this song is like incredibly effective as a serious song.
It is. Next, One Angry Dwarf and 200 Solemn Faces from Whatever and Ever, Amen. This feels like a good time to tell you that Whatever and Ever, Amen is their best album, in my opinion. It's probably a top 25 album of the 90s for me. And this is the first track and such a great start to this album. This song is dedicated to Ben's classmates in grade school. It's very boastful and cocky, which is a little off brand for Ben Folds 5, but it works for him in this song, I think. Quote, yeah, now I'm big and important. One angry dwarf and 200 solemn faces are you. If you really want to see me, check the papers and the TV. Look who's telling who what to do. Kiss my ass. Goodbye. It's pretty obvious.
This is the actual Ben Folds Fuck You song that belongs on the Juicy playlist.
It absolutely is. And this side of Ben Folds 5 is enjoyable. It's snarky. It's fun. It's a fuck you to the people who bullied him before he was famous. And he's like, look at me now.
Yeah, this song is time travel, right? Because when you listen to the song as a kid and you're bullied, this is your fantasy, is to be able to go back and say fuck you to everyone else. And that helps you get through being bullied. Can I give you my weird take is on, if we're going to talk about the ranking of the albums, I think this is their second best album, but I think this is the top 25 album of the 90s.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, is that possible to reconcile?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. The last one on our playlist here is Do It Anyway from 2012, The Sound of the Life of Mind.
You might put your love and trust on the line. It's risky. People love to tear that down. Let them try.
The official music video features Fraggle Rock from Jim Henson's universe. That's pretty dope. Apparently, this song started as a live improv, which is very common at Ben Folds shows. You're at a show with like 5,000 people, and they'll be like, hey, play, what do you want me to play? And people will yell out, and he'll play it. Well, apparently in this story, somebody yelled out something, and he goes, no, I don't really want to play that. And then the same fan goes, do it anyway, which sounds like something Jordan would do.
Damn right.
And he goes, do it anyway. And so then he improvised some parts of this song, the seed of this song. He improvised then and there, like he does Rock This Bitch or like anything else. And then he finally fleshed out the song. They released it on the 2012 album. I love the chorus. It really rocks. Like, you hear Ben Folds screaming while singing, which usually his voice is very soft in contrast to how loud the piano is. But this is sort of him singing like he plays piano, and he's screaming and his voice gets really raspy. I really like this song a lot. All right, so Jordan, we've gotten through the playlist. Everyone should now have something in their arsenal to listen to more Ben Folds 5. So that's it. As you can tell, we love Ben Folds 5, and I was just really happy to be able to sit down and talk about them for so long, and we hope you enjoyed the episode. If you want to hear other episodes by us, then check those out. You can go to Spotify, you can go to iTunes, you can find all of our episodes and Sounds Good to Us. Engage with us online. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. We love to get ideas for these shows from fans. A lot of the recent episodes have been ideas from people online. They've told us, hey, we'd love to hear you do Fountains of Wayne, or we'd love to hear you do Miley Cyrus. And a lot of that comes from y'all. So we want to do more of that. So thanks a lot for doing that. Jordan, anything else that you want to close us out here with?
Yeah, you might have noticed you just listened to an entire podcast episode with no ads. And that's because Greg and I do it for the fun and love of music. And the way that you can support us is just hit that subscribe button on Apple or hit the follow button on Spotify. So you know when we get new episodes and you can continue to support the podcast. That's the one favor we ask of you. Thank you. See ya.